Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for the Wilmington, Ohio Church of Christ. We pray that this message will inspire you and help you grow closer to God in your faith. Be sure to stick around after the message to find out more about how you can take your next best step. Enjoy the message.
In my junior year of high school, I took honors physics, taught by the golf coach. Now, I don't know if you've ever been taught science by a coach before. Sometimes you learn science. Sometimes other things go on. Now, in this particular class, this particular coach, actually his background prior to going into teaching was that he worked for Dow Chemical. He had a doctorate in chemistry and science. So he could get pretty fired up about science, for those of us in the room, but he could get fired up about other things too. And in this particular honors physics class, there were 13 boys, not a single girl in the room. All honors students, all boys. But even honors students, when you put 13 boys in a room together, their brain gets smaller and they become ornery. And we found out that he didn't just get excited about chemistry and physics, but if we could get him to talk about his past at Dow Chemical, we didn't have to do anything in class. And we found out that if we could get him to talk about women, we didn't have to do anything in class. And if we could get him to talk about our future, we didn't have to do anything in class. So 13 honor students, so we were pretty good, made a plan, and each of us took a turn when we needed to get out of class. And when it was my turn, I brought a guitar magazine to class. Because just like Jacob told you a few weeks ago, my plan was to be a great musician. Now, to be fair, Jacob plays a pretty mean guitar, and if we turned it up, I'd be all right with that. But you can see how far we both got. But when Mr. Pinson said, "Dow, what are you reading?" I said, "I'm reading about my future." And we didn't have class that day. I don't remember what he said. I just know we didn't have class. Because he'd get fired up about some subjects. The truth is, I'm the same way. There are a couple of subjects, if you get me going, I'll just go. And you got to stop me somehow. You got to figure out how to stop me, because if you get me going, I will get on a roll. If you get me talking about the martial arts, we can talk for a long time. I will just talk and talk and talk, and because I love the martial arts. I love teaching people the martial arts. I love what comes out of the martial arts. If you want to talk about Dallas Cowboys football, I can talk for a long time. I know the Detroit Lions are going to be good this year, but not that good. Listen, I can talk, and I'm ready to go off right now, and so I'm going to stop myself, because if you get me talking about the good news of Jesus, I can talk, and I can get going for a while, and sometimes it's almost like, hey, Dow, you got to preaching, and we were done about 15 minutes ago, so I'm going to try today to not go too long talking to you about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But as we've been studying for the last 8 weeks here in the book of Romans, I think as we come to the end of the book, you discover that that's what happened with Paul in the book of Romans. I think that Paul wrote the book of Romans to encourage a church that had some struggles, but that he knew with all his heart, had everything it took to be good and teach each other and help each other. And Paul just wanted to remind them of some things, and he got going. And we got the book of Romans. Because if you turn to Romans chapter 15, verse 14, Paul actually kind of says this. Here's what he says in Romans 15 and verse 14. He says, "And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourself are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another." Now, you might ask yourself why Paul has that confidence since he wrote this entire letter, but let me read to you from chapter 16 some of the people, just a few, because there's a whole list here, that were in this church. First of all, Phoebe. Phoebe's the first person we see in Scripture called a deaconess. She served so much that she began an office for women serving the church. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. These two helped Apollos to get his doctrine right around baptism so that as he preached across Asia Minor, and some think even into Asia proper, Apollos had the right message. That's who's in this church. And he says, greet Epaphroditus, my beloved, who's the first convert to Christ from Asia. Now, that's a guy who's been around a bit. He knows a little bit about Jesus and about following Jesus. In verse 13, he says this thing that when I read it, I went, what? I had to go back and look. Verse 13, he says, greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, and also his mother and mine. His mom is a side note at this church because there are so many great people in this church, and Paul knows them. And even though Paul knows them, he gets excited because he wants to remind them of a few things because he's heard that there's some struggles. And Dale's expounded on some of those struggles over the last several weeks. So if you haven't been here for the entire series on Romans, I recommend go to the YouTube channel for the Wilmington Church of Christ and watch the entire series because Jacob and Dale have done a great job with the 8 weeks that we've had in Romans. But Paul wants this church to remember a few things. He goes on to say here, he says, but I've written very boldly to you on some points so as to remind you again because of the grace that was given me from God. So these are good Christians. These are Christians who've been around. These are Christians who are elsewhere mentioned in Acts. These are Christians who have done things for the Lord. They've been in the Lord. Many of the people in this church are people who know Jesus, but sometimes we forget that all this is good news. Do you ever forget that the message we have is actually good news? The message that Jesus came, who was the Son of God, who died on a cross and rose again on the third day, is good news. And what's more true is all that that now means for us because of our ability to now see God more clearly and to live into God more fully, it's good news. I think sometimes I forget. Maybe you forget sometimes. Sometimes when the world shuts down and I lose all control that I thought I had, by the way, you don't, I forget the good news that God is great. God is great, and God is in control. And if God is in control, I don't have to worry about being in control. And even if things in my own life seem out of control, it's okay. God's got it. And I can rest in the good news that God is in control. Why can I rest in the good news that God is in control? Because the God we're talking about who is in control is the same God who sent his son to die on a cross for you and me. And if, as Romans 8 says, he gave his son for us, won't he give us all good things? The God of the universe sent his own son for us. And he loves us so much that he wants us with him. That's the God who's great and in control. Relax. This is good news. So when you feel out of control, sometimes we need to be reminded as Christians. In fact, I would say discipleship for those who are in Christ is just this, that we might become more believers. What do I mean by that? I believe God is great. If I told you God is great, you'd say yes. Except when I finish fixing all the electrical outlets in my daughter's room that haven't been working, and I find the problem and I fix it, and her room works. And that night, my daughter comes home and tells me her check engine lights come on. So I go and I get her car fixed. And the next day, my wife says, hey, you need to get the air conditioner fixed on your other daughter's car. And I start to feel out of control. in my own life. And sometimes I need to be reminded to believe that God is still great. Even when my life seems out of control, God is in control and it's okay. And God has been in control from the beginning till now. How do I know? Because as we learned in Romans chapter 9, God made a promise to Abraham. And to Abraham, he brought out Isaac. And even when Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son Isaac on an altar because God had said to do it, God was in control and saved Isaac. And much like Christ being raised from the dead, Isaac was raised from the dead and God provided a lamb. And after Isaac gave birth to Jacob. And even though Jacob and Esau fought with each other, Jacob was the one who received the promise, and he had 12 children, and those 12 children hated their brother and sent him off into exile, and yet God saved them all. And when famine came, he saved them so that they reproduced, and they became so massive in the area of Goshen that the Egyptians were afraid of them and put them in bondage and slavery, and yet God was in control. And he brought Moses, and Moses came, and by the power of God, Moses brought the Egyptians to their knees and took the people of Israel out of Egypt and out of slavery and into the desert. And in the wilderness, he said, I have a promise for you, a land I'm going to give you. And when they got out into the desert about 11 days later, they should have reached the promised land, but it took them 40 years because they decided they didn't believe God was really in control when they saw giants. Are you facing giants today? Remember, God's in control. Speaking of giants, David faced a giant. David faced a giant, the king of Israel. Before he was king, he was just a young man, probably 16, 17 years old, faced a giant who everybody was afraid of, but David remembered God is in control, and he went out with just a sling and a stone, and he killed a giant because God was in control, and God made David king. Not right away. David had to deal with somebody coming against him the entire time. More than once, David had the opportunity to kill Saul, who was coming against him, and he didn't because he didn't believe it was his job to take control. Do you ever have trouble with trying to be in control? Remember, discipleship is God moving us from unbelief to belief in every area of our life so that we believe that God is truly in control. And Romans 9 through 11, we're told that through these chosen people of Israel, God brought about the salvation of the world in Jesus. And even though some of them don't believe, Paul prays that by God being in control, he can still bring hope and life to the people of Israel, that they might believe in Jesus as well. Sometimes we forget the good news of who God is. Sometimes I forget when I'm feeling down, I'm having a bad day, things aren't quite going my way, maybe I'm tired, sometimes I'm a little worn out, sometimes it's because I'm upset, sometimes things are bothering me, and I forget God is good. I mean, if you ask me in the moment, is God good? I'd tell you, yes, God is good. But in my actions, I kind of don't remember that God is good. And my actions seem to show that I don't believe God is good. I've forgotten God is good. Because I don't turn to God for all my satisfaction. Instead, I'll turn to Oreos. Lately, it's been Nutter Butters. And I'm trying to find some part of satisfaction, just something to give me a little bit of comfort. And instead of turning to God, I'll turn on Netflix or Disney and watch 5 shows in a row. Or maybe sometimes I won't do that. Maybe sometimes I'll leave the television off and scroll through Reels or TikToks. I don't know what it is you turn to for satisfaction. Maybe it's more money. But sometimes we tend to believe that somehow sin and other things in this world are more good than God is. And so we turn to those things for satisfaction. But Paul has reminded us, and he reminded the church in Rome, hey, listen, when you were baptized, you died to sin. Should we go on sinning so grace can abound? No! But sometimes I forget how good God is, and I turn to other things for satisfaction. But if I remember how good God is, I know that he can satisfy me in all things, and he will satisfy every need of my life. In his time and in his way, he will satisfy everything. But sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget that God is glorious. So we don't have to fear anybody else. Sometimes when people do things, they call themselves Christians, and yet they make choices that we would say, that's not very Christ-like. We're forgetting that we're not glorious. God is glorious. And they may not behave as we behave. They may make choices we don't make. And we're not the ones who decide whether they're okay or not. That's not up to us. That's up to God. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget when other people see what we choose to do in our freedom. As we live out free in Christ and we make some choices free in Christ. I got to speak at a couple other churches over the last couple months. And as I did, you know, I show up, I don't wear shoes. And sometimes I worry about upsetting somebody. I don't want my decision to worship God this way to get in somebody else's way. But at some point I got to go, you know what? Maybe I can teach them something. Maybe God is glorious, and maybe I don't need to fear what other people think, and I need to let God deal with that. I remember the first time I came here after Dale was had been brought on staff to preach, and I asked him, I said, should I wear shoes? He said, you know, you might need to. I'd hate for it to get in the way of people hearing what God wants to say. I said, okay. So I wore shoes. Seven people came up to me after church and said, why are you wearing shoes? God is glorious. So I don't have to fear other people. I don't have to fear what the government does. I don't have to fear what other people think. I don't have to fear judgment from other people. I need to fear God. I am his servant. They are his servant. They don't need to fear me, and I don't need to fear them. But sometimes I forget. Sometimes I forget God is gracious. So I've got nothing to prove. This is really hard when people tell me stupid things. You know, things about God that are just dumb. And I just want to correct them. Usually they don't actually tell me things about God that are dumb. Usually they type it on Facebook. And I get fired up. I got to prove the truth about Jesus. And my wife goes, you realize you're not convincing anybody of anything. Delete. Because she's right. And you know what? I don't have to prove anything anyways. I don't need to prove that God is who he says he is. God's capable of doing that all by himself. When somebody disagrees with me about God, I can remember that God is gracious and his grace is big enough to convince someone else of the truth without me. He doesn't need me. And so I can rest. What's more, I can be at peace. When somebody says something wrong about God, I can share the truth with grace. But if they don't want to hear the truth with grace, I can leave them with grace. And it's okay. Because I don't have to worry that I did something wrong or that I'm not good enough because they didn't listen to me. If God wants them to be saved and they choose to hear his voice, they will be saved. It's not up to me. Yet, I got to tell you, all these years doing ministry, I really want to be the one who makes sure you hear the truth and are saved. But there's so much freedom. When I remember, this is good news. God is gracious, and so I can tell you the truth, but I don't have to prove it to you. The truth is a person, and he's strong enough to stand on his own. He doesn't need me. I can relax, and I can love people, and I can give them grace, even when they're wrong. But sometimes I forget. And maybe you forget too. And that's why Paul says he wrote this book, was because sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget that this is good news. It's good news. And if you have not heard all of the sermons from this series, go back and listen to them because it's good news. We used to be dead in our sin, but because of Christ, Jacob taught us, we are now able to live an eternal life. Our identity is changed because of what Christ did. And we used to believe and follow after sin, but we don't have to pursue anymore because by the power of Christ, I can be set free from sin. Christ's power alive for me and through me and in me as I live in him sets me free and gives me victory. Not because I earn victory, but because I live into the victory God has already decided I have because I'm in Christ. And Dale taught us that we have been, God has been preparing for this time since the beginning of time for us to be able to live in the freedom of God, the glorious God, and be able to live free in him. Oh, what good news. And because of it, we can now serve each other and serve the world with all that God has given us without having to hold back at all because God has got it. And he proved that when he sent his own son to die on a cross and then raised him from the dead on the third day. And it changed everything. And he's been doing it ever since. I mean, throughout history. Listen to verse 17. Therefore, in Christ, I found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God, for I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed and the power of signs and wonders in the power of the Spirit. Listen, God has been doing signs and wonders through his people throughout history, and he has done amazing things that have changed the world. I mean, they've changed the world for almost 2,000 years now. And I still say almost, because we've got 29 years till we reach death, burial, and resurrection. But for almost 2,000 years now, God's been doing amazing things across the world through his people, through people just like you and me. Anybody ever seen an orphanage? Christians thought of that. In the old world, you just tried to figure it out on your own. You were just kind of on your own if your parents died. Somebody would probably enslave you if they could. Kids got mistreated and thrown out and left to the wolves all the time. But Christians went, all these babies who are sick, we're going to take them in. Orphanages. That's Christians' idea. Anybody been to the hospital this year? Christians thought of that. That was our idea. We decided that sick people should be cared for instead of left to be sick. Instead of running away from sickness, Christians started moving into the sickness to try and help those who were sick. Christians thought of that. Some of the most beautiful art in the world, Christians. Some of the best writing in the world, Christians. And over time, the story of the redemption of Christ has been told in history. It's been told in art. It's been told in literature. The story has been repeated again and again and again and again by the people of God as they remember who God is and they tell that story over and over and over. Even the greatest stories of our day tell the same story. Even people who don't know Jesus can't help but tell the same story of the good news of what it is like when somebody from nowhere comes to know the truth, and as they know the truth and they find out the truth, they go and face a great evil, and even though their life almost gets taken from them or even gets taken from them, they are resurrected from that death and they have victory over the evil. We keep telling the story over and over. I mean, you've heard it. The greatest story of the last 50 years. Young farm boy. Out on his farm. Feeling like he's not doing enough with his life. And he finds out there's a great evil in the universe. And so he picks up his sword and he starts learning how to use it. And he goes out. He flies over the Death Star and shoots and wins. It's just the story of Jesus. And he was almost dead till Han Solo came and saved him. Yes, greatest story of the last 50 years. Sorry. Some of you are going, what? track people. I don't know what to do with you. Anyway, sorry. I'm off on a tangent now. Listen, it's a story. Look, The Matrix, same story. Finding Nemo, same story. Little fish goes and saves all the other fish, and he dies. Only he doesn't die. He comes back to life, and everybody's saved. It's the same story. We can't help but tell it over and over and over because it's such good news. We find ways to tell it. And so God continues, and he uses the power of his word and the power of signs and wonders to move and change lives. And it's not just across the world over the last 2,000 years. The last 20 years in our community here in Clinton County, some amazing things have happened. Things that are just now showing their fruit. 20 years ago, actually, it was about 22 years ago, I stood on a piece of property in Sabina, Ohio, with about 30 other people, and I prayed over that piece of property for what God would do. And I asked God to move and change lives through what he would do on that piece of property. It was my last act as the worship minister of Sabina Church of Christ. And if you don't know what's happening in Sabina Church of Christ, you need to check it out, because they have a Celebrate Recovery program that is bringing 70-plus people from all over Clinton County, Fayette County, into Highland County to come and be refreshed and redeemed from all their hurts, hang-ups, and habits that are breaking them down and keeping them from God, and they're being redeemed and restored in ways that are miraculous beyond belief. People are ministering the gospel who at one point were so far from God that you would have called them almost evil. And now they have been turned. Their lives have been restored. God has refreshed them and renewed them and restored them fully so that they are able to bring the gospel of God's grace all the time, week in and week out at Sabina Church of Christ. As we started working to figure out release time, I wanted to get into East Clinton because one of the things to get release time to work, if you don't know what release time is, the government decided that we, in the 50s, that it's okay to take kids out of school to teach them the Bible because that's part of our history and it should be okay. And in Ohio, you have to have a board policy in place, and Wilmington didn't when we started looking at this, but East Clinton did. So I decided to go talk to some folks over at East Clinton and find out if they'd want to get a release time program going, because the Sabina Church of Christ and where it now sits has a sidewalk to the elementary school. And East Clinton already had a board policy in place. And they've already been working with the elementary school, doing all kinds of after-school programming, and they can't wait to get release time going. They're working on it. They're trying to bring the churches together in Sabina. It's amazing. The Blanchester School District also had a policy in place. And God has been helping me to meet with pastors there and with people there so that the release time programming can happen in Blanchester. And here in Wilmington, we didn't have a policy in place, so we began working with the board trying to get a policy put in place so that we could have release time programming. And there seemed to be some pushback on it a little bit from the board, so we were praying, and we gathered together to pray so that we could pray before the board meeting where we thought they were going to make that decision, that they would make that decision, and they would decide to open up the door so that we could do release time programming here in Wilmington. And when we got there for prayer, we found out that God had already moved, and they had already approved the policy, and we were already set to be able to do release time programming. We'll start in January. That's what God's doing. And he's doing it through a group of men who are leading churches across our county. And he's doing it through those men because there's a vision God lit inside all of us. 15 years ago, when DHL announced they were leaving, there were four of us who were meeting together to pray. And Steve Fricke began calling around to churches to asking pastors to come together and pray for our community because of what was happening. And he called one of the guys in our group, and he said, "We pray every Tuesday at 9 o'clock. Feel free to join us." And the next week, there were 15 churches represented. At this point, it's 10. Pastors come and go, and things shift. But we've got 10 churches from all different backgrounds represented together, praying together every week for this community. Out of that group, you've seen things like Be the Church Day that you've been a part of. You've seen things like Hope Over Heroin that has brought people out of the darkness of addiction and is continuing to do its work in our community. And finally, God has seen fit for us to create a long-term ministry together called One Mission. And one mission is the result of several things coming together at once. Number one, the needy and the homeless in our community need our love and our grace and our attention in new ways. And we wanted to organize volunteers differently. And so God began to move and gave us the opportunity to share this vision with our churches so that we could call volunteers out of all the churches to come and help us, because there's plenty of services in town. There just aren't enough people to disciple those in need. And so we're trying to call up volunteers from all of our churches. And at the same time that that was happening is when we found out about release time programming. And so we began working to be able to call out kids from the middle school to teach them the Bible in the middle of their school day. And God is moving to make it happen. And it all came together because we had gotten one vision in our heart. A vision that started right here. When our elders and our staff said, God has given us a vision to have one disciple in every home in Wilmington in the next 5 years. And these pastors said, Wilmington, let's do Clinton County. And so we are doing whatever it takes together now as one mission, because the one mission we have is to make more disciples. It started here. And that vision has spread like wildfire as we've gone into the other communities and said, hey, here's our vision. And they've gone, oh, that's a great vision. Yeah, that's Jesus' vision, that we make disciples. God has been moving the whole time. Signs and wonders and miraculous ways, things that we could never. In fact, the biggest problem we've had with one mission is keeping up with communication and the way to communicate everything that God is doing, because he's moving faster than we can keep up with. I'm working on it. And so as I read this passage, and you go on to read in verse 19 following, it says, so that from Jerusalem and round about, as far as Illyricum, and I fully preached the gospel of Christ. And thus I aspired to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, they who had no news of him shall see, and they who have not heard shall understand. Our goal is to do more. And as I prayed this morning, what do you want to tell the Wilmington Church of Christ today, God? Here's what he said. Tell them, don't forget, it's good news. And I've been spreading this good news for a long time. But Dow, tell them this. There's more. There's more. There's more for you. There's more for me. There's more than you have now available to you. There's more than we have. So often what happens to us is as we get into Christ and we begin to follow Christ and we begin to give ourselves to Christ, what happens is we get sucked away into this place of almost idleness, because we think, hey, I believe in Jesus, I've given my life to him, and I am serving him here at the church, and so I'm good. I'm in a small group. I'm good. Hey, you know what? You don't have to do any more than that. You believe that Jesus is Christ, Son of the living God, and you have given your life to him in baptism. You are saved. You are going to heaven, and you don't have to do any more than that. But there's more you can have. You can get more if you want it. If you're not happy with what you have now in your faith, there's more. God has more to offer you. But here's the thing. We are a group of believers called out by Jesus to be sent on mission. You want more? Get on mission. You want more? Figure out where your mission is. I laughed when my wife said that Dale called for people. If you want to serve somewhere and you don't know where to serve, call him and he'll set you up and get you a place to serve. And he said, I didn't get a single call. But I didn't laugh because Dale didn't get a single call. That sounds sad, but real quick, just if you are serving somewhere in the kingdom of God because of what he's done for you, raise your hand. This is why I laughed. You're already serving. So much of this church serves. We give when the call to give comes, this church is generous. When the call to serve comes, this church, most of you are serving somewhere. You are giving of yourself somewhere. And God is not mad or frustrated. But you know what? You get to do more if you want. By the power of the Spirit alive in you, God will do even more than he has already done through you. And you may be like me when you hear that and go, wait a minute, I don't know that I have more to give. Anybody feel that way? I'm already giving. I'm already serving. I'm already doing. Listen, don't feel guilty. There's no guilt. God is a God of grace. You have no guilt if you don't do more. It's okay. You don't have to. God loves you. But you get to if you want to. I began praying and asking God, God, what else can I, where else can I be used? What am I not doing? What else can I give for you? And you know what he showed me, the first thing he showed me? It's weird. Taco Tuesday. I went, what? See, every Tuesday night, my family gathers around my table. And we have tacos. It's a late dinner. It's 9 o'clock at night because I have karate before that. Lately, some other kids have been hanging around as well. Well, they're adults, but they're boys. One of them asked if he could marry my daughter. I said yes. So did she. And they go to church here, so you can encourage them. I'm so excited for them. But you know what? We sit around the table and other people want to be a part of it. We got one kid, he can't show up very often because of being at college and different things, but he'll be in town sometimes. He'll come over to get a burrito and he hadn't been there for the whole meal, but he wants his burrito. And then he hangs out. We've had other kids show up for Taco Tuesday every now and then and they love Taco Tuesday. They tell their parents about it. And the reason is, not because we make great tacos. It's tacos. It's really burritos. It's just wrapped differently, though. Shh, don't tell anybody. It's the same thing. It's not because of our cooking. It's because grace is shared around our table. It's because love is there. It's because the gospel of God lives in our home. And so I encourage my kids, hey, if there's somebody who needs a table to sit around, invite them to Taco Tuesday. Just let me know in advance so I have enough meat. Although if we don't, I'll give my taco up. So let me ask you, do you eat? Could you open your table once a week? I'm not telling you to change your rhythm. Just invite other people into it. I've been wanting to do something for men. Struggled. God, what do I do for men? I want to do something for men. He said, light a fire. So next Wednesday at 8 o'clock, over here behind the dojo, I'm going to light a fire. If you're a man or you know a man who wants to be around other men and just talk about life, I don't know what God's going to do. I have no plan. I'm just going to light the fire. If you want to come, come. I don't know what else God might do in your life. I just know there's more. I feel like Jewel the Unicorn at the end of the Chronicles of Narnia. If you've never read them, at the very end of Chronicles of Narnia, they basically go into a new Narnia. And in that new Narnia, it's like the old Narnia, only better. And then they go to the center of the new Narnia. And when they get in the center of the new Narnia, it's a newer Narnia, only better. And Jewel says, come further up, come further in. And he runs in further into Narnia and they all chase after him and they get to the center of Narnia and it's a new Narnia, only better. And he says, come further up, come further in. Listen, there's more. And I feel like, Jewel, I just want to say, come further up, come further in. There is more than what you have seen. There is more than what you have experienced. There is more for God to do through you. You are not done. God has more for you. And the reason that Romans matters is it reminds us of who God is and what he has done for us so that we can go give it. We are believers called out by God to go on mission. Join me for more. Let's pray. Father, we want more. I want more. Thank you for creating in me a desperation for more of you, for creating in my heart a hole that needs more of you. Not, Lord, an obligation, but a call, an invitation to be a part of even more of what you want to do. God, I pray that you will move and you will break hearts and you will move people towards you, that you will help people to remember that they can have more of you. Remember the good news and that there has been good news and you have been spreading the good news and there is more good news to be given if we will just go and participate with you. You are ready to give us even more. Oh God, in simple ways and large, help us to remember there is more. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the good news. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Another thing I love about our church is we know we're forgetful. And so every week we try to take time and remember. You're looking at me going, he doesn't have communion in his hand. You're right, I forgot. I took it first service. But if you're sitting there with your communion, the bread, Paul says, when we do this, we're supposed to remember what Christ has done for us. This is a time to let him seep in your heart and come in your heart and say, is there a place that you've forgotten who he is, or is there a place you haven't really believed he is who he says he is and you need it transformed? In this time, we remember what he did for us, because in the moment in history that Jesus gave himself, everything changed so we could have good news. So if you'll take the bread, Paul goes on to say, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body broken for you. Take, eat in remembrance of me. And if you'll take the cup, Jesus said, he took the cup and as he gave it to his disciples, he said, this is my body, this is my blood shed for you. Whenever you drink this, do it in remembrance of me. Take the cup and remember what God has done for you. And lest we ever forget God's goodness, I want to encourage you each day to find reasons to see God moving to help you remember. This morning after first service, one of our Princess class members gave me a cross. And at first I looked at the cross and I thought, oh, that's sweet. And I looked at it again and I said, oh, what a reminder that no matter who you are, you can share good news with somebody else. So I've kept it with me through this whole sermon. I'm really glad I did. Because no matter what, you can find more opportunities if you'll just let God move. So I want to leave you with this. Romans 16, the end, says this. We praise God because he's great. He's able to make you strong in your spirit. That is the good news that I teach. That good news is the message about Jesus Christ that God has kept secret since long ago, but now he has shown this message to us. God's prophets already wrote that this good news would come. And God, who lives forever, has commanded us to tell it to people. He wants people from all nations to know this message. Then they can believe in God and obey him. Yes, we praise God. Only he is completely wise. We praise him forever because of Jesus Christ. This is true. Amen. Go share the good news.
We hope you have enjoyed this message. If you need someone to pray with you, talk to, or maybe you just want more information about our church, be sure to fill out a Connect card so we can reach out and help you take your next best step. Thanks again for joining, and we will see you back here next time.